Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Hello, America. Welcome back to The Savage Truth. I am your host, Cicely. Savagely ecstatic to have you with me today, as always. We have the trifecta. We have the trifecta, everyone. I told you, we are winning. We are winning. Now, this is not to become too confident, right? We don't want to get overexcited. We don't want to get sloppy or complacent, right? That's complacency absolutely guarantees loss. Let's stay vigilant. Let's keep our heads about us. But there are certainly more points on our side of the board than on the blue side. More points on the red side than the blue side. The elephant is whooping the donkey. We are winning the lawfare bet. The very fact that they have to bring out a porn star and a convicted perjurer says the Dems lack confidence in their own agenda. They lack confidence. By the way, what is the progressive Marxist socialist communist color, right? Republicans are red, Dems are blue, if Dems even exist anymore. What's the color for Marxist socialist communist? Brown. You know what I mean? Not to represent the people, but we'll make it brown. Maybe we can make the independent color, if there is such a thing, if there is such a thing as an independent nowadays, the independent color could maybe be, I don't know, puce or periwinkle. Anyhow, I'm in a good mood because I am going to see Donald J. Trump soon. And I'm really anticipating that. Before I go off into a tangent or down some rabbit hole and get lost, you know the ask, and thank you for all the comments. By the way, the support, it's been wonderful. Thank you so much for the comments. I am seeing them. Thank you for tuning in right away when the episodes drop. Really appreciate that. But you know my ask, please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. I greatly appreciate that. There is growth going on, and I am truly grateful for that, truly. The trifecta. We had a great day on Tuesday. Tuesday the 6th, by the way, is the date I'm referring to. We had Stormy Daniels have a complete and utter meltdown on the witness stand, an embarrassment for the other side, by the way. What an embarrassment. We had the Fannie Willis case go to appeal, being pushed up to the Georgia Appeals Court, and the farce of another case involving Trump, the Presidential Records Act at Mar-a-Lago. That search warrant case has now been delayed. And as I said, I get to go see the glorious orange and a whole lot of my friends all dressed up here in my state, Minnesota, later in the week. Happy, happy, happy days. But this is about that trifecta glory, ladies and gentlemen, and we should talk about them and some other things, perhaps. Let's see what I can squeeze in here and there as I get off. We got to get this Get Trump Follies list going here, because that's all this really is. This is about being a circus. This is a circus we're involved in right now. So let's begin with the fraudulent Georgia election interference case. You remember, you know, the DA Fannie Willis, who was whisking all around the country and beyond on exotic trips or luxury trips with their hired prosecuting boyfriend, Nathan Wade. We had a little bomb chicka bow bow going on in office. And she was paying him. He was on the payroll, said they were that there were reimbursements of cash back and forth between the two of them. But when the relationship, an obvious relationship as defined by everyone who's ever had a date or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a wife or a husband or an affair or a fling, you know, anybody who's ever had a date, even if you haven't had a date, you know what one is. You know what a relationship is or what have you. They were clearly dating. Everyone knew. Even the people who got on the stand and lied, they knew that they were lying. The dad knew, the woman, her friend that was working in the office, she knew, everyone knew that they were dating. When the relationship came into question, especially pertaining to the illegal association and inappropriateness of this case, both she and her boyfriend, Nathan Wade, and the attorney for Wade, who represented him in his divorce case, right? Who was a frat brother, by the way, got on the stand and lied through their peachy teeth and lied badly at that. Then the judge decided that this was absolutely inappropriate, and the Trump team righteously has a right to question the legitimacy of the two who were hanging and banging, being allowed to actually prosecute. Now, he did cower a little, and I talked about this in my episode. He cowered a little, okay? Instead of doing the right thing, the wholesome right thing, he took a cowardly half step. He said, "This is inappropriate, Fanny. Either you resign or Nathan goes." And of course, Nathan dipped out, okay? Woo! All right, I'm slipping into Ebonics a little bit today, but Nathan dipped out, and the Trump team said, "Yeah, we still don't think this person, Fannie Willis, who you clearly have decided is compromised and incapable of being honest and unbiased and politically incentivized, she clearly is, we don't think she should remain on the case either. We're appealing her presence as well." Now, that was a great, great strategy and the right thing to do for the Trump team, because clearly if the judge comes out and says, you know what, something's not right, either Nathan Wade goes or Fannie goes, then he recognizes that they were both compromised. So if Nathan goes, then that automatically means, in my opinion, and so many people across America, that they both should go. By the way, this case in Georgia is a First Amendment violation case. It's a First Amendment violation, okay? It's being kicked up to the Court of Appeals. Let's hope that case is thrown out, along with Fannie Willis, hopefully landing wherever Nathan Wade did or not. I mean, after all, as the lady said, a man is a companion. A man is not a plan. You remember when she said that. Now, next on the docket, the Florida case. And by the way, as I roll through this list of illegitimate, ridiculous, taxpayer dollar-wasting farce and fraudulent load of cases on Donald Trump, if you're anything like me, you're rooting for him. You recognize how strong and resilient he is, and you sympathize and empathize with him, knowing that what he's been put through is not only unprecedented, but it's corrupt, it's illegitimate, and it's illegal. And you recognize that if they can and will do this to him, a former president with great resources, they can and would do it to any one of us. And that makes me know without a doubt, hesitation, or question that he should and will be the next president of the United States. Let's make him number 47. He deserves to be back in the saddle. Okay, that's just the savage truth of the day. But rabbit hole, because you know me, I'm all excited today. Oh my gosh, keep me on my straight and narrow today, Rick. Okay, thank you. The Florida case. So the Florida presidential records case where Mar-a-Lago was raided, you remember that. First Lady Melania's things were searched inappropriately. Okay, what a disgrace. What a disgrace for this administration. I know that if I were on the Biden administration, I probably would have stepped down or quit. I certainly, if I stayed put, I would probably duck out and hide to be a part of the most embarrassing, inept administration in the history of presidential administrations. But I digress. The case is now being pushed back for now. Woohoo! Being pushed back. And then there's the dank, musty, cold courtroom of New York, being handled, of course, by another Democrat hack, Alvin Bragg. Throw them all in a garbage bag, okay? Throw them all in a garbage bag. Don't let them sit out on the curb waiting for the dump trunk in the morning, okay? Letitia James, Judge Merchan, Alvin Bragg. I know I'm missing a few, but you know, you catch my drift. You know, put Stormy in there. You know, the perjurer, he's coming up. Michael Cohen, put him in there too. Put them all in a heavy-duty garbage bag and send them directly to the city dump. They are stinking up our judicial system, the political system, the faith of Americans for justice under the law, stinking up law enforcement altogether, and faith in all our abbreviated agencies. The people don't believe or have faith in our system any longer because of all of these hacks, okay? It matters, truly. It matters how we're perceived across the globe to our allies and to our enemies, okay? We are clearly diminished, right? America in itself, as this stronghold, strong presence, representative of democracy and the success of it, we're clearly diminished, our reputation. The optics from around the world, think about that, folks. Think about that. Think of how this looks to Putin. Donald Trump, who Putin respects from an alpha male to alpha male perspective. I mean, Putin is the one that said, Trump is a man to be respected. Remember he said that? Didn't say that anything close to that about Joe Biden or Obama, by the way. This is how it looks to Putin, okay? Trump is on the stand being questioned by a group of degenerates and some ex-porn star who flat out says she hates Donald Trump. Flat out said it on the witness stand, discussing alleged salacious details about some sexual encounter that nobody cares about. It's irrelevant to this case, totally irrelevant to the trial, and this disgraceful judge who has no business whatsoever being on the bench, Judge Merchan, hardcore communist activist of a judge. But all that blew up in their faces because Stormy broke down and melted down on the witness stand. It was a horrible and embarrassing on the witness stand. It was ridiculous. So much so that the judge was upset with the Trump team for not objecting. Yeah, he made some comments after the fact expecting the Trump team to object more, even though every time there is an objection, he overrules it. Okay, this is a circus, okay? He gets upset with the Trump team for not objecting enough in her testimony because even the judge recognized that while she was being cross-examined, that she was having a total meltdown. It was turning into an embarrassment for them, okay? How about just striking her testimony altogether, judge, okay? Especially since she has nothing to do with the case. Folks, you already know this case has nothing to do with a relationship or encounter with this woman, okay? It's about an alleged falsified business record, which no one has yet proven or even gotten close to prove. The FEC said it was not illegal. Otherwise, they would have gone after this. Even actually Bragg didn't want to actually take this case originally, I found out, right? This is about trying to hurt Trump. That's the only reason why they put Stormy Daniels on the witness stand, to try to hurt him, to try to embarrass him. Therefore, hurting his chances with the people in order to deter his obvious strong re-election chances. That's it. Plain and simple. Real clean and cutthroat. Even CNN acknowledged that this case is ridiculous. Okay, so you have brilliant attorney minds across the country. Red, blue, and indifferent. Okay, these are successful, prominent, tenured, highly capable attorneys all weighing in saying that this case is a farce, that it's not legal, it's unprecedented. And for the Trump team itself, it's difficult for them to even defend the case because a crime haven't actually been pointed out, right? Apparently, Stormy Daniels was trying to crack jokes in order to sway or connect with the jury. And the jury just kind of stared at her. This is a report we're getting out that she was trying to be sarcastic. She was trying to be light. She was trying to be funny to try to take her, make connection with the jury. They were not moved. They were not amused. No one smiled at her. No one reacted to her from the jury. They just were there to really take their job seriously. And I'm respectful of that, even though this case shouldn't be going on. Those people should actually be at work or at home if they're retired or enjoying life and not sitting here wasting their time and their life listening to a ridiculous, ridiculous case. Stormy Daniels trying to go in with lines. Okay, she tried to show herself up to be clever, clever lines to soften the jury. But this is serious. It's not funny. It's not a laughing matter. Putin and Xi Jinping are probably sitting back and laughing and enjoying this melodrama going on in America. Of course, them both hoping for the demise and the destruction of America, and they're watching it happen without having to participate because it's literally being done for them by Americans. It's disgusting. So, people, Pew's people or Periwinkle people, okay, you independents, those of you who are on the I don't want to vote for either of the presidential candidates. I'm undecided. I don't want another bout between Donald Trump and Biden. The bottom line is that's what you got. Okay. They are both running. Stormy Daniels was a disaster on the witness stand. Okay. Contradicting herself, says she wasn't in it for the money, that it was not her motivator. Money wasn't her motivator. I'm not in it for the money. And I quote, I'm not in it for the money. I just wanted to tell the public my story about Donald Trump. The following question to that statement was this by the cross-examination. Then why did you sign a non-disclosure to not disclose it for money? disaster. Okay, this is an abomination on the witness stand. This was a major act in the kangaroo court. Okay, Michael Cohen, he can't be trusted or decided if he was for Trump, if he was a Trump supporter or not. Now, the latest coming out is that literally after he testified, he went on his TikTok page and was asking to get up to a million subscribers. And he was wearing a T-shirt, and it was a T-shirt with Donald Trump behind bars. And he was basically kind of testing the audience, saying that he's actually considering running for Congress. Well, considering the honesty and the characters we have in Congress on the blue side, he would certainly fit in. But that would be a joke of a candidacy. OK, but changing his position every other sentence, embarrassing day for the United States prosecution. OK, I need to move. Seriously, I've been thinking about this. I need to move to a red state. Okay, seriously, there's no hope for me. Got to convince my kids to move. Okay, the boy, he'll be easy. The girl, not so much. But I've been thinking about this for a while. I mean, what's going on? So let me move away from those because, again, I want to keep my spirits up high and somewhat celebratory today. I know it may seem as though I was upset, and I am upset, and I am. Okay. I am upset about what's going on in our country with the Biden administration and the Marxist commies that have infiltrated our government. The enemies are absolutely within, but I am feeling good about those last Tuesday outcomes. Now, you remember the two or three episodes ago, I told you about the cat burglar state representative out in Woodbury, Minnesota. Well, the Republican legislature is trying to remove her. Have her ousted. And of course, and not surprising, she says she refuses to leave. Now, no one's surprised by that. So State Senator Nicole Mitchell, not a state representative, I'm sorry, she's a state senator. Okay, let me correct that. State Senator Nicole Mitchell didn't answer any questions about her felony burglary charge from a Senate ethics panel Tuesday night, with her attorney decreeing investigations as a witch hunt. State Republicans have been calling for Mitchell's resignation following her April 22nd arrest and filed an ethics complaint against the senator, citing the felony charges, as well as contradictions between Mitchell's alleged account of events in charge and in public statements. Okay, so she had some conflicting statements that they say, could make her unfit to continue serving in office. So let me give you all some clearance on this. Okay, let me clear this up. Let me make it plain so it's easy to follow. She's charged with felony burglary. Okay. And the Senate Ethics Committee says she should be expelled. This has been the focus for the last 2 weeks at the Capitol. Okay. Here's a recap. She was charged with the felony burglary after being discovered burglarizing her stepmother's home in Detroit Lakes, where her dad used to live. His dad was passed away on April 22nd. Now, just to give you some perspective, she is a resident of Woodbury, Minnesota. Woodbury is an eastern suburb of Minneapolis, really, really close, getting close to the Wisconsin border. She was caught dressed in all black, ladies and gentlemen, at twilight in Detroit Lakes. Now, if you Google or ask your phone, how far is it from Woodbury, Minnesota to Detroit Lakes? It will tell you it's some 216.6 miles away. And that's a 3-hour and 29-minute drive. Three and a half hours away in the middle of the night. Or as we like to say in my family, she was up at the crack. Okay. In black, breaking and entering. Far and below, ladies and gentlemen. Far and below. She has indeed engaged in conduct far outside the accepted norms and below the standards of conduct expected for any senator, state or federal. Well, she certainly traveled far, okay? But what the ethics committee is attempting is deciding with the committee if there's a probable cause for her expulsion. So if you lived here, what you would have seen in that coverage was that her attorney was doing all the talking. She was sitting next to him. She had her head down. She was actually texting or playing on her phone. She literally said nothing. She allowed her attorney to do all the talking because this is an embarrassing thing for her. Okay, it should be. She should be embarrassed. Democrats should be embarrassed. And if she had any amount of decency at all, she would step down so that we can, you know, go on about our, you know, blue business here in this state. Now, I said I will keep you posted, and I will, just so you don't think that the donkeys are only running wild and loose in New York and California. There is a ravenous wild donkey attack going on a whole lot in other states. I don't know. I think the donkey chow is just better in the blue states for some reason. I don't know. So I mentioned beer in the last episode. I talked about the rival to Bud Light, the ultra right company, throwing a rager for those brave frat boys in North Carolina who held up the American flag, right? Here's an update on Bud Light's really quickly. Let me give you an update on Bud Light. Since their partnership and endorsement with Dylan Mulvaney, okay, Bud Light sales are still suffering. A year after the controversy, yes, seems the partnership with Dylan has sparked a real reaction that Bud Light drinkers were serious about. They weren't kidding, okay? You're going to make this kind of partnership, okay? You want to connect to this. This is what you want me to resonate with. Every time I take a swig out of that can, this is what you want to represent. Okay, we boycott. Okay, so let me go into reporter mode for a second. Anheuser-Busch InBev's Bud Light brand has still not recovered in the U.S. more than a year since the beverage giant's controversial partnership with transgender influencer Dylan Mulvaney sparked a boycott of the beer. In its first quarter earnings, released last Wednesday, Anheuser-Busch reported a 2.6% increase in revenue globally, but a 9.1% decrease in America. Sales to retailers in the U.S. were down 13.7%, primarily driven by a drop in Bud Light volume, the company said. Sales to wholesalers in the U.S. market were also down by 10.1%, and the company's earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, which is called the EBITDA, dropped by 19.7%. That is significant. Now, you all know, and maybe you're one of the participants. Maybe you're one of the ones who dropped Bud Light. You boycotted. Sales of Bud Light began to tumble in April of 2023 in the U.S., not long after the brand created and sent custom beer cans to Mulvaney to mark 365 days of girlhood. You remember that. So that move and comments from Bud Light's marketing vice president at the time, Alyssa Heinerscheid, who said she wanted to update the fratty and out-of-touch brand, sparked calls from conservative influencers and celebrities to shun the brand, and a boycott took hold. Bud Light was toppled from its long reign as the best-selling beer in the U.S. last year, losing its title to Constellation brand Modelo Especial. Hats off to the boycotters. Now, I am happy to announce that perhaps the old saying of being sick and tired of being sick and tired is taking hold. It seems that Chicago voters all are significant and their voices are relevant. I totally acknowledge that. But I am, of course, more focused on the Black Chicago voice, particularly with the focus of crime. I am hopeful, as you all know, and it seems that it is starting to connect. It's starting to resonate. The corruption and the farce of the Democratic Party to the Blacks in Chicago. Two women appeared on Fox. I watched them. They appeared on Fox reporting that when Biden visited the state, the city respectively, for a fundraiser, that he was not going to find the entitled embrace from Black residents for him or the Democratic Party, and should no longer consider Chicago the Democratic stronghold it once was. Oh, this is so good to hear. It's music to my ears. Now, I don't think that the entire city is red, okay? I'm not naive. In fact, I'm sure it's still blue. But those blue waters are turning purple, at least, significantly changing to red, and that is great news for America. I will end with this today because it adds to my cheerful nature on this episode. the corruption and the lies, the deception, the abuse, and the fallacy of the donkey party is being exposed. And Black voters' eyes are wide open. Now, I fully understand that political corruption and cronyism is a nonpartisan issue, one that affects every citizen, not just of Illinois, but in all branches of government. And it's sad to even say that, that we are where we are right now in 2024. But what is so encouraging to me is that there seems to be a long time coming recognition by Blacks, particularly in Chicago, that crime has long been accepted as a necessary evil for doing business in Chicago, for living in Chicago, for being a resident of Chicago, right? Being born to Chicago. Now, whether due to loyalty, cultural expectation and guilt, race complacency, ignorance, apathy, fear, or a sense of futility, I think it's safe to say at this time, though long overdue, it's safe to say and accept that the time for looking the other way is over. It is time for Black voters in particular to take an active approach by voting out the corrupt and complicit, the abusive, the untruthful, and declaring time's up. I am by no means suggesting to forget. After all, our history in this country, our genesis in this country has helped to enrich the American story. The story of America is not perfect, but is certainly not corrupt, okay? That statement needs to be made. The Biden administration, if you notice, has given up the argument altogether that they have improved the economic lives of most Americans. They're no longer saying that anymore. KJP is not saying that from the podium in the mornings and before the press. They've let that narrative go. They know that they're losing on that issue. It's now focused on those issues they polarized the nation on, right? Abortion, other things. It's time for the people to take back America and restore it back to its original operative. It's time to call out and vote out so-called leaders in industry, academia, business, religion, media, and politics who are more focused on ego building, who are more focused on power and self-enrichment. Savage truth is, with the Black monolith, it's organized crime. Time to call a thing and shut it down. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.